Let's all stand to our feet, have a word of prayer. Today's a big one. We're talking today about love is greater than insecurity and fear. And here's what I know. Everybody deals with this at one time or another in their life. And today, if you're here and you're a person that deals with insecurity, let it help you. Everybody does, all right? And we think, I'm the only one. Everybody deals with this at one time or another. So let's pray and ask the great teacher who is here, the Holy Spirit, to really help us today in this area. Lord, thank you today. The Holy Spirit is the great teacher of all truth, the revealer of truth. And Lord, all the answers are right here in the Word of God. And so I pray today you help me to communicate your word. We believe we have hearing ears to hear what you're saying to us today. And our eyes are open to behold wonderful things, answers, a pathway, things that we can do right here in the Word of God. So help me to communicate it in such a manner that we can hear it and apply it. Go do it. Go live it. Put it to work in our lives, and you will bring it to pass in our lives. And so thank you today. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shake someone's hand before you sit down. Tell them God has something for you today, because he does. God's got something just for you today. Amen. You can be seated. Love is greater than insecurity and fear. I'm always amazed that the fact is everybody deals with this at one time or another. And I'm always amazed that it seems like oftentimes the more talented somebody is, the more gifted they are, the more of an achiever that they are, the more attractive they are, they oftentimes deal with insecurity more than anybody else. Isn't that crazy? And that's just the way things really are. Oftentimes people have all these things that they've done, and I think what hurts us sometimes is people kind of tend to put us up on a pedestal or whatever, and we know I'm only human. I'm as human as anybody else, and oftentimes this can become really unhealthy to where people fear being exposed. I'm really not that person. I'm really more, I must be a fraud. I must be a phony, and people put us on this pedestal, right? In what I do, pastoring, I have some great minister friends who have these gigantic mega churches. They're on TV. They travel internationally. But they're as human as we are. I've seen my same friends get mad and throw golf clubs on the golf course. I've seen them have a spat with their wife. I've seen them act ugly and everything else. Well, they're as human as we are, right? They're all the same. We're all human beings. And yet sometimes these things can hold us back, because insecurity will cause us to have self-doubts and cause us to be anxious about ourselves and cause us to be uneasy about we are. Our very identity is questioned because of fear and insecurity. Amen? And so talk to me. Love is greater than fear and insecurity. Just talk to me. What are some things you think people are afraid of? What are some things that people fear? Just come on, anybody. What are some things people fear? Death. People fear death. Yes. What else? People fear rejection. Rejection by someone they hold in high regard. People can fear rejection, and oftentimes insecurity is spawned by a negative experience like this. And so they're like, man, I tried that, and my heart was crushed, and so I'm going to be really hesitant, or something must be wrong with me. And people who are really unhealthy with insecurity begin to feel this sense of, I don't deserve to be loved. I don't deserve to be successful. They'll do things that are self-sabotaging, because deep down on the inside, they don't feel like they're worthy of unconditional love. I don't deserve a husband like that, a wife like that, a job like that, status like that, because of a negative trauma in their life. What else are people afraid of? People are afraid of getting sick. All right. What else people are afraid of? A couple of more. Loss. People are afraid of loss. Losing maybe status, a position, loss of money, loss of a relationship, loss of a loved one. These are legitimate fears that people have, right? Well, the Bible says this in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7. From the New Living Translation, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. So those fears don't come from God, yet people deal with them. It's an amazing thing. Now, I asked a moment ago what people are afraid of: death, loss, sickness, rejection, things like that. Chapman University, believe it or not, It is the leader right now, and they do a survey. They've done four annual surveys on American fears, and it began in 2014. So when Chapman University first conducted its survey on American fears in 2014, the top of the list was walking alone at night. And people are afraid of that, and people are afraid of being alone and being by themselves. The following were identity theft, safety on the internet, being the victim of a random mass shooting, and the all-familiar, which nobody said here, but this is an all-familiar one, public speaking. People are afraid to put on the spot and to speak in public, especially when they want to remain anonymous, right? So those were the five fears. Just a few years ago, when Chapman University first conducted their survey on American fears in 2014. Now, this year, okay, Chapman recently released the fourth annual edition of its fears survey. And get this, walking alone at night has dropped all the way to 56 on a list of 80. Things have really changed, all right? 56 on a list of 80. Random mass shootings fell to 35. All right, public speaking fell all the way to 52. Now get this, instead, the top fears are clearly driven more by the headlines of the past couple of years, especially regarding the new administration in the White House. This is a fact. There's data for this. In fact, the last 2 years, the number one fear in the Chapman University American Fear Survey has been corrupt government officials. All right? In 2017, more than 50% of those surveyed said they were afraid of the American Health Care Act. And then pollution of oceans, rivers, and lakes. Now, nobody here said that. I don't know if too many of us are laying awake at night saying, oh, I'm so afraid of the pollution of lakes. Okay, but these guys did, all right? This is who they surveyed, all right? So pollution of oceans, rivers, and lakes, and the pollution of drinking water. And I sat there and thought, that is really interesting how it's tied into the headlines. So Dr. Christopher Bader, PhD, professor of sociology himself at Chapman University, who led the team effort, said this, and this is really interesting. We're beginning to see trends that people tend to fear what they are exposed to in the media. Many of the top 10 fears this year can be directly correlated to the top media stories of the past year. And it hit me. It hit me. People need to start reading their Bible like they've been believing the news. And they need to start believing the news like maybe they've been reading their Bible, right? Because they're like, they hear something on the news like, oh my gosh, look what's going to happen. And they read their Bible, a promise of God, and they're like, well, I'm not so sure about that. I think they ought to flip-flop that. What do you think? All right? And read a promise in the Bible and say, yes, look what's going to happen. And then see something on the news. I'm not so sure about that. Amen? And I know this, that the answer for fear is faith. The way to overcome fear and insecurity is faith. And I know from the Bible how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. We say it like this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. In other words, the more I hear God's word, the more I believe God's word. The more God's word gets on the inside of my heart, the more I believe God's word. The more God's word gets on the inside of my heart, the more God's word begins to affect the way I think, it affects the way I live, and I begin to live and walk by faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing. What the amazing thing is this, we say this about faith. Faith is believing what I do not see will come to pass. Faith is believing it before I see it. But here's the crazy thing about faith and fear. They're polar opposites. They're evil twins. Fear has the same definition as faith, just negative. Fear is believing what I do not see will happen. It's fear. Fear is believing it before I see it. I'm just so afraid this is going to happen. I'm so afraid that's going to happen. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my relationship. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my money. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my kids. How is it right now? Oh, I got plenty of money. My marriage is healthy. Everything's good. People stock up. Boy, do I dare tread on this one? Boy, I don't know. Man, do I dare tread on this one? I don't know. You know, flu season's coming, so everybody goes and stocks up. Do you feel sick? No, I feel great, but I believe I'm going to get sick. Are you sick right now? No, I feel great. What evidence do you have? I just better get it while it's on sale. Right? Isn't that operating by faith in the negative? But that's really fear, though, right? Now, nothing against medicine. Don't get me wrong. I got my shot about 2 weeks ago, okay? And my doctor recommends that, and I follow his advice. You follow me? But Dr. Jesus says, with his stripes, I'm healed. Amen. And so I understand that the cure for fear and insecurity, the way to overcome that is by faith. And so in the same way, faith comes by hearing, fear comes by hearing. And the more I can feed my faith and starve my fears, or I can feed my fears and starve my faith. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I mean, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline." So those fears and insecurities don't come from God. Insecurity is uncertainty or anxiety about oneself. It's a lack of confidence, amen? And the fact is this, everybody deals with it at one time or another. If you were raised by demanding parents, you've had to deal with this. If you've been involved in a critical, where your spouse or somebody was a very critical partner, you've had to deal with this. If you were tried to be pushed maybe by a parent into something where I just don't want to do that, it's not who I am, you've had to deal with this. Certain temperament types and personality types just sometimes are more prone to dealing with these things. I think the internet has got us all messed up on this because there's so much comparison. And there's so much, I should be like this, I should look like that, I should have this, I should do that. I think a lot of those things mess us up, amen? Here's what I know about overcoming insecurity and fear with the love of God. You can write these three things down, they're going to be on the screen. Number one, I must know and believe what God says about me. I have to know this. I must know, next, like what I said, know and believe. Know it. And believe. I know that's there. I got to believe it. I must know and believe what God says about me. Number one, I got to hear it, but I have to believe it. What God says about me. When I believe what God says about me, what somebody else says about me is only secondary. It doesn't really matter that much. If it's negative, especially. Oh, you're just a loser. Well, God says I'm more than a conqueror. Nobody loves you. Well, God says I'm loved unconditionally. I have to know and believe what God says about me. Number two, I must say what God says about me. It's got to get in my heart and it's got to get into my mouth. I have to say what God says about me. First, it's in me and then I'm saying it. Somebody said this, you got to be before you do. Remember, change always happens from the inside out. Anything else is just a Band-Aid, but not a cure. And you know Band-Aids, they fall off after a while. It's got to be a change on the inside, a change of how I see myself, my identity not being on what I do, but whose I am, who I belong to. He chose me. He wants me on his team. I didn't choose him. He chose me. So I must know and believe what God says about me. I must say what God says. I can say it like this, what God has already said. It's never going to change about me. I must say what God says about me. And then number three, I must understand that I am who God says I am. I am who God says I am. And this is the pathway. This is how to overcome inherent insecurities and fears other people try to project on us. Are you listening to me now? These three things are crucial to overcome. I must know and believe what God says about me, and that's all in the Word of God. I must say what God says about me. I must understand that I am who God says I am. It's a great example of this with John the Baptist in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse number 19. It's going to be up on the board on the screen from the NIV, John chapter 1, verse number 19. He's out there baptizing. He's the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's actually, you know, Jesus' cousin. And so he's announcing him as Messiah. He's baptizing, getting people ready for the Messiah who's going to come after him. The scribes and Pharisees don't like this. He's doing something different. So they send people out to ask him, who are you? Why are you doing this? Who do you think you are? What do you say about yourself? Let's read it. John 1:19. Now, this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. And listen, our identity is going to be challenged by the enemy. Who do you think you are? No, I don't think. I know God loves me. Who do you think you are? No, I know God protects me. Who do you think you are? No, I know God provides for me. They sent people out to ask him, who are you? He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I'm not the Messiah. Now, when I know who I am, I know who I'm not. All right? And I'm just happy to stay in my lane and run in my lane. You're the Messiah? He goes, no, I'm not the Messiah. I know who I am, but I'm not the Messiah. They asked him, well, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, no, not Elijah. Are you the prophet? And that refers to, again, the Messiah. He goes, no, I'm not the prophet. Finally, they said, I want you to underline this. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. And then they said a second question. Underline this one. What do you say about yourself? On those two questions hinges the course of my life. Listen, my life will be determined on how I answer those two questions right there. Who am I? Who do I think I am for sure? And what do I say about myself? What do you say about yourself? Now, I think sometimes we're afraid of being arrogant. We're afraid of being prideful. I understand that. But then we go way too far the other way and say, I'm just a worm. I'm unworthy. I don't deserve. Then we forget, wait a minute. Jesus died for me. That gives my life value. That gives my life worth. You see these guys pay these millions of dollars for some painting. You don't even understand what it is. Right? Or this is a priceless thing, a priceless Rembrandt. Or this is, you know, I saw on one of these TV shows where some guy found out there on the curb some priceless masterpiece by some famous artist somewhere. But the guy who had it thought it was worthless. In his eyes, it was worthless. And this guy picks it up and says, it's a masterpiece, see? So somebody else might think, you're worthless. When Ephesians 2:10 says, I am God's masterpiece. What do you say? That's the issue. What do you say? I can tell you all day long until I go hoarse. You're God's masterpiece. You're God's masterpiece. I can read it to you all day long until my eyes get fuzzy. You know, you're God's masterpiece. But it's what do you say about you? It's got to get on the inside of you. God, help me to communicate your word today, to get on the inside of your people's hearts. So we're doing today. It's got to get on the inside of you. I got to be before I do. It's got to be in me before I live it. So they asked him two questions. Who are you? What do you say about yourself? And John replied this. And the way John replies is the way we must reply. He says, in essence, I am who the Bible says I am. He quotes here, I am what Isaiah, he quotes Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 3. Now you might quote 1 John 4:4. I am greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world, you know. You might quote Romans chapter 8, I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me, or whatever. But just quote and say what the Bible says. So they asked him, who are you? What do you say about yourself? And in verse 23, John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness, make straight the way for the Lord. And that is Isaiah 40, verse 3. That's who I am. I am who God says I am. I am what the Bible says about me. I don't care what you say about me. You think I'm some crazy person. You think I'm some weirdo. You think I'm some loser. You think I'm some lawbreaker. I'm none of those things. I am who God says I am. I'm the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. Now the Pharisees who'd been sent questioned him. Why? So not only who do you think you are, not only what you say about yourself, but number three, why do you live like this? Why do you behave this way? Why are you like this? How come nothing rattles you? Oh, because God's word's in me. Why do you forgive and not hate people? Well, because of who I am in Christ. Why do you seem to be able to control your mouth and control your anger when others are trying to goad you? Oh, because of who I am in Christ. They asked him, why do you do this? Why do you baptize if you're not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? He says, I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He says, you know what, guys? I know something you don't know. I know someone you don't know. And he's already here among you, and you don't even know it. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He's saying, hey, who I serve is bigger than me. Why I serve is bigger than me. Where I serve is not up to me. It's all because of him. That's who I am. That's what I say about myself. And that's why I do what I do. Now, please get this next statement. Behind every behavior is a belief. I believe that. Behind every behavior is a belief. People do the things that they do because they somehow believe something about what they do. People often do things because they somehow think it's in their self-interest. People commit crimes because they really believe it's the only way to get ahead. People gossip about others. They think it makes them feel better about themselves. People serve God because they know I'm going to grow in Christ. Behind every behavior is a belief. Behind every behavior is a belief. Listen to this. I behave in a manner that is consistent with how I see myself. That's what I do. I behave in a manner that is consistent with how I see myself. And then get this. How I identify myself determines how I approach my life. How I see myself, how I identify myself. In other words, what I believe inwardly affects my outwardly. You follow me? How I identify myself determines how I approach my life. So, what has to happen for real change to happen is we have to change the inside. We have to change that belief system. We've got to change what I really believe about myself. And maybe somebody instilled wrong belief on the inside of you. Maybe somewhere along the line through some traumatic event, some pain, some rejection, some failure, something going wrong somewhere, some environment, the wrong belief was put on the inside of you when all the time God has the right belief for you. We call that changing the inward GPS, changing the inward autopilot. You follow me? If I was a pilot and I set autopilot from Los Angeles to New York City, but all of a sudden I decide, you know what, it's cold there, I want to go to Miami instead. But if I didn't change the autopilot, I would be fighting that thing the entire time. I'd be trying to go make a right, you know, trying to go south, but the entire time the autopilot is fighting me. And so even though I might do it for a little while there just by sheer willpower, as soon as I relax, it goes right back the other way. Why? Because the autopilot has never been changed. And people need to learn, and we're going to tell you how today, change the inward autopilot. It's called being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change in the way you see yourself. So again, behind every behavior is a belief. I behave in a manner that is consistent with how I see myself. And how I identify myself determines how I approach my life. I must let God reset the autopilot of my heart. On the screen, we're going to put up, I'm out of order a little bit here, okay? Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. Romans 12, verse 2 from the New Living Translation. The Bible says this, don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Guys, that verse there is a watershed verse. Let God transform you into a new person. That's on the outside, by changing how you see yourself on the inside, changing the way you think. The only way I'm going to overcome my insecurities and overcome my fears is changing the way I see myself on the inside. The only way to overcome those self-doubts, that self-anxiety, that fear of failure, that fear of, oh, I'm just doomed to mediocrity. It's just my lot in life. I don't deserve this. Deserve? None of this is about deserve. It's about grace. By grace, I'm saved through faith. That's not of myself. It's a gift of God. It's not of works. Then it says, I'm his masterpiece. Ephesians 2:8, 2:9, and 2:10. It's not about deserve. It's about gift. It's about grace. Are you listening to me now? The devil lies to us, though. You don't deserve for someone to love you like that. You don't deserve to have that kind of a job, that kind of status, those kinds of things. And something on the inside just robs us of things on the outside. We've got to let God reset that autopilot on the inside. Very quickly, Proverbs chapter number 4, verse number 20 from the New Living Translation. We're going to go quickly here. Proverbs 4, 20 through 27. He says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Verse 23, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Remember, let God set the autopilot in your heart. Here is how this happens. You ready? Number one, I constantly put God's word in my heart. The Bible said, let them penetrate deep into your heart. I constantly put God's word in my heart. Secondly, I constantly put God's word in my mouth. If it's in my heart, it'll be in my mouth. Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I put God's word in my heart. I put God's word in my mouth. And then God's word shows up in my life. When it's in me and when I'm saying it, it shows up in my life. It's automatic. Nothing can stop it. I begin to see the effects of God's word. God's favor shows up in my life. God's grace shows up in my life. God's blessing shows up in my life. God's protection shows up in my life. God's wisdom, God's decisions, it shows up in my life. When I put God's word in my heart, I put God's word in my mouth, it begins to show up in my life. I'm like, wow, look at that. What a coincidence. No coincidence, divine appointment. Wow, look at that. What a break. No break. Divine provision. Amen. Wow, look at that. I just happened to hit that one right. He didn't hit that one in the lottery. That was God's wisdom. Amen. It shows up in your life. And then I overcome my insecurity and I overcome fear in my life. Let God reset the autopilot of your heart. Remember this. Remember, God has chosen me. Say it with me. God has chosen me. Say it again. God has chosen me. If you're one of those kids who got left out, remember, God's chosen you. If you're one of those kids who was left standing by the fence when they chose up teams, remember, God has chosen me. If you're one of those kids that heard about the party afterward, remember, God has chosen me. Care about some other third grader? God has chosen me. Oswald Chambers said this. Remember, Jesus said, I've chosen you. He said, keep that note of greatness in your creed. It is not that you've got God, but that he has got you. Remember that. God's chosen me. Talk about overcoming insecurity. God's chosen me. Last thing, three things I want you to remember. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. Say it with me. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. One more time. It sounds so wonderful. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. There is a prescription for overcoming fear and insecurity. Say it first thing in the morning. Say it last thing at night. Say it on your lunch break. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. We're going to stand to our feet right now. I've asked the worship band to come back up on stage, and they're going to lead us right now. And we have a song that we sing around here. I am who you say I am. I want us to sing this today with all of our hearts. And friend, if you've come in here today and you know, man, God's talking to me. My days of insecurity and fear are over. I've let that hold me back. This happened, that happened, that's tried to hold me back, and the devil's robbed me long enough. Today, put your heart into these words today, and let it be your day of moving forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing it. With all of our hearts, thank you, Jesus.
I am chosen.
Yes.
I'm forsaken. I am who you say I am.
Let's sing it now.
You are for me, not against
yes.
me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am.
Yes.
You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am.
Yes.
I am chosen.
Let's sing it. With all of our hearts. That's who I am.
You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am chosen.
Yes.
Not forsaken.
Yes. You haven't given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline. We thank you. I am a child of God. I am who you say I am. In your house, there's a place for me. I am chosen. I am not forsaken. I am who you say I am. So be it. Lord, we thank you. Minister to your people. It's a brand new day. There's the pathway. There's the road. There's the steps right there. And so, Lord, we thank you so very much. May the Holy Spirit call to mind all week who we are, who we really are. When someone tries to challenge that, no, I know who I really am. No, I know who I am. I know who I am. And, Lord, I thank you so much. In Jesus' mighty, mighty name. Amen. Hey, let's go live this. God bless you all, amen. You can go.